Thankful to see the presence of each and every one, and hope that we can now turn our attention to the things that we find in God's Word. And to that end, I hope that you do have your Bibles and will make use of them as we engage in the study this evening, and certainly encourage you to do whatever else that will be a benefit to you in the study of God's Word. I meant to indicate this morning that the lesson was a request. And it was one of the longer ones that went before I ever got around to doing it. I did a radio program. In fact, I did two radio programs on the subject of the devil's knot. And it was with that I was suggested that it would be good to bring a lesson on it. Well, that was back around the 1st of October, if I remember. So it was about 5 months till I got around it. I forgot about it. Sometimes during a couple of three of those months, but finally dawned back on me again. The lesson tonight is also a request, but it's not been 5 months since we had the request for it. It's a lesson on gossip. And certainly the indication is that many times there are those who say, well, I don't mean the gossip, but certainly we know that there is teaching in God's Word in regards to many things that really all amount up to gossip. They are condemnations that we find in the scriptures that are listed here. For instance, in Leviticus 19, we read in verse 16, "You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord." In 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 11, "But we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies." In Romans chapter 1 and verse 30, he says, "Backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents." And it's also in verse 32, it says, "Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." In Proverbs 10, verse 18, "Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool." In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20, "For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults." It's in 1 Timothy we read in chapter 6, beginning with verse 3, "If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, revelings, evil suspicions." And then in Proverbs 20, in verse 19, it says, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips." In 1 Timothy 5, verse 13, "Besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not." So truly we see in all of these verses the evil that the Bible speaks of concerning gossip and all of the various forms of words that we find used in the scripture. That we just went through each one of these and we saw there was that word talebearer, busybodies, backbiters, slanderers, whisperers, evil suspicions, secrets, and of course, the word itself, the word gossips. You know, you may quickly agree that gossip is a sin. But are you guilty of redefining terms, making excuses, and calling your evil words good? You know, we oftentimes hear Isaiah 5 in verse 20 quoted, and we use it mainly in the context of the day and times in which we live. That says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And truly, that takes place in our society. But maybe we need to bring this passage just a little bit closer to home and realize that, yes, we too can redefine terms in our own minds, in our own thinking. And in the making of these excuses, do exactly what Isaiah is talking about here in Isaiah 5 and verse 20. I want us to look at some common reasons that people use to falsely justify gossip. One of those reasons I think we can probably call the blatant denial. What I mean by that is somebody says, well, I don't mean to gossip, but, and they put a disclaimer on what they're saying. But you know, putting a disclaimer on gossip does not change what it is. Not any more than, let's take a person who has stolen. And he says, well, you know, I didn't mean to steal. Well, think about that. That doesn't excuse his thievery, does it? Or here's a person that took someone's life. He said, you know, I didn't mean to kill, but does that in any way excuse the murderer? And so it is with gossip. We may say, well, you know, I didn't mean to gossip. But again, does that really and truly excuse the gossip? In 1 Timothy 5, it's in verse 13, it says that besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. So this is helping us to see the definition of what God considers things that are inappropriate, things that are sinful on our behalf. And you know, that makes us to realize that we can't explain away things that we shouldn't be saying. Rather than try to explain them away, let's just simply not say those things, rather than trying to give explanation. In Malachi chapter 3, we read in verse 15, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinances and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. You see, we're familiar, I think, with the book of Malachi and how it was that God would bring charges through the prophet against the people, and yet it seemed like that Israel always had her path covered. She always had an alibi. She always had an excuse. She always had a justification. And so here, when the matter came up that God said, your words have been harsh against me, then Israel rises to the occasion, and they say, what have we spoken against you? And God laid out several things here to Israel's discredit, and indeed how guilty they were of speaking those harsh words against God. So what we need to learn from all of this is that denial will not excuse our accountability before God. It didn't Israel. It didn't excuse Israel's accountability, and it's not going to excuse our accountability before God. Another common reason that people use to justify or falsely justify gossip is what we might call the secret pact. What I mean by that is that, you know, somebody says, well, promise never to tell anyone. Or somebody says, can you keep a secret? You see, the whisperer does his work in secret because he knows he's doing something shameful. He knows he's doing something wrong. He knows he's doing something that he ought not to be doing. It's in Proverbs chapter 16 that it says, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. That's what we risk when we gossip. We risk separating ourselves, we risk separating others. That would be best of friends. In John 3, in verse 19, it says that this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practices evil, hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. And so in this matter of whispering, in this matter of where we say, you know, promise not to tell anyone, or can you keep a secret, let's remember one thing. And that is that no human whisper is so low that God couldn't hear it. Think about that. In Psalms 90 and verse 8, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. So what we think that we do, what we think that we say, and all of this we think that can be done and kept in secret, there is no such thing. God sees, God hears it all. There's nothing hidden, no matter how low we say it. From before God. Excuse me. Another common reason that people use to falsely justify gossip is what we might call the truth excuse. Somebody says, well, what I'm saying is true. Okay? Even if that little tidbit of information that you've got is true, what is the justification for spreading? What is the justification for spreading it if it's going to tear somebody down? What's the justification for telling it if you're going to cause this person to have other people to cast evil suspicions upon him or her? Or you're going to cause someone to delight in the personal problems of others. Oftentimes, that is the result of gossip. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we read in verse 6, this punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man, so that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. What we have here in 2 Corinthians 2 is what we read about in 1 Corinthians 5. In that first letter, Paul had to deal with the problem in Corinth of the church being puffed up over a fornicator. And Paul, in that letter, addresses what the church needed to do. Obviously, by the time that Paul writes the second letter, the church has done the things that Paul commanded to be done. And obviously, as a result of that, as it says here, because of the punishment that was inflicted, and that punishment has reference to discipline, it has reference to withdrawing, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, deliver such a one unto Satan. Obviously, the church had done that, and now, because of this man that has obviously repented of these things that he's done, Paul now has to, in this second letter, write and tell them now what they need to be doing in reaction to what he has done. So what he tells them is that you ought to rather forgive and comfort this man, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. So the lesson for us is that rather than dwell on the past sins of our brother or our sister who has acknowledged these sins, has made confession of these sins, has obviously has brought forth the fruits of repentance over these sins, then we need to be comforted rather than continuing to spread the bad things that this individual has done. We need rather to forgive and to comfort this individual. In Matthew 18 and verse 15, it said, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother." See, discretion is always the best. And this way, in handling it the way that Jesus says in this passage, this way there's less of a chance and there's less of an opportunity for gossip to even get started. And so it is then that we need to do things God's way, the way that Jesus talks about in his word when it comes to matters of personal things. That truly would cut out a lot of room for gossip, for all of these words that we talked about in the beginning of our study. You know, another common reason that people have to falsely justify gossip is what we call the praise diversion. What I mean by that is that somebody starts off by saying, "Well, you know, he's a nice guy. But did you know?" And then the rest of it comes out. So let's ask ourselves the question. Do we try to offset our gossip by throwing in some nice compliment of the person with it? Somebody may say, "Well, you know, he's an excellent Bible student, but did you hear about the problems that he's having in his marriage?" And then they go on with that to spread gossip about this individual. It's in Proverbs chapter 20 that we read in verse 19, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore do not associate with one who flatters with his lips." In Psalms 12, verses 2 and 3, "They speak idly, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things." You know, we studied in a Bible study about Ananias and Sapphira and what God did to them because of the lie that they told. They were killed, right? What if God handled every Christian that lied in the same way that Ananias and Sapphira was held? And in reference to this verse here, what if God literally did cut off the lips of those that flatter and cut off the tongue of those that speak about proud things? We'd have a lot of mute Christians with us. But yet, certainly, what we're seeing here is insert an element of praise for the person and then to go about gossiping is, again, it's a way in which that we falsely justify gossip. And then one other one. We'll call the enemy license. In other words, he did me wrong. And some believe that the rules don't apply concerning not gossiping, when it comes to someone who is an enemy. Rules just don't apply. We can just we have a license because this person is our enemy. But you know, remember what God said? God said, return good for evil, did he not? Remember Titus chapter 3 and verse 2? Let's back up to verse 1. It says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authority, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. And then in Matthew 5, verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. Who are we professing to be? We are professing to be sons of our Father. And so, how does God deal with these individuals? Well, Jesus goes on in that 45th verse. He makes his son devised on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. You know, it may be a good thing that some that profess to be Christians aren't God, because it could be that those that they consider to be their enemies, maybe they withhold the sunshine and the rain from those folks. But see, we need to be sons of our Father. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. He sends the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. Another common reason that people use to falsely justify gossip is what we call the counselor privilege. Somebody says, well, you know, I was just seeking counsel. And certainly there's a place for that. In fact, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 11 and verse 24, that the wise man will seek counsel. In fact, in that proverb passage, it says that in the multitude of counselors, there is help. So we're not minimizing the need for counsel, and it's a blessing to be able to go to someone who is knowledgeable, someone who is respected, as a brother or a sister in Christ, and seek their advice about some difficult situation that we might be in at the time. But we must not allow this counseling that we're talking about to become a gossip session. And that's one thing that is very easy to happen. So it is. Many reasons that are used to falsely justify gossip. In the conclusion of our studies, let's ask ourselves, are we guilty of using any of these excuses? Are we using these excuses to justify ourselves in gossiping? Jesus said in Luke 16 and verse 15, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. What we must understand about this verse is that all of these reasons that we have talked about that are used to falsely justify gossip, God sees through it all. And the reason that God does see through it all is he knows our hearts. And that we must never forget. And let me leave you with this final passage in Ephesians 4, where in verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That's what we need to be concerned with as Christians in our everyday walk of life. We need to make sure that whatever comes out of our mouth is not corrupt, but rather instead, it's good. It's good for necessary edification, that it will impart grace unto those who hear us. That not only just stands true of being around and associated with members of the church. That's not just where Ephesians 4 and verse 29 is applicable. It needs to also be when we're in the confines of our home, within the four walls of our house, with our spouse, with our children. This verse applies equally, as much so there as it does when we are coming together as Christians. And it applies in the workplace. When we're around other people that are constantly looking to us and listening to us and watching and observing us, we need to do as this pastor says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to necessary edification, that it may impart grace unto the hearer. In other words, I can't find a situation in life that Ephesians 4 and verse 29 is not to be made application of. And so that's what I hope as a result of our study this evening that we'll seriously consider. We've heard that verse, we've quoted that verse many times, but really, does it mean that much to us that we understand that there's no circumstances, there's no situation that it does not apply? I realize tonight's lesson is not really a lesson for those that may be here and not obey the gospel. But it is a time and an opportunity that we have being together such as this, where that if you have heard the word, you're willing to believe it, we are willing to repent of your sins, with your mouth make that confession that Christ is the Son of God and be buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins, we're ready, we're prepared. We can right now take care of that need, and that's the greatest need that you have. There's nothing in a physical sense that you need any greater, any more than to make your life right and your relationship with God what it ought to be. And now is that time and opportunity that you can do that. If you're here and as a Christian, maybe it's been gossip, maybe it's been other things. The devil tempts us in so many ways, in so many things. Whatever it is, as we talked about in our study this morning, sin is sin. It has its consequence. And sin pays wages, and that wage is death. And it doesn't matter whether we're an alien sinner or whether we're a saint. Sin brings forth death. There's no qualifier on that verse. So maybe you're here tonight and you need to render as a Christian your acknowledgement of sin. We will, with you and for you, pray that you be forgiven. Tonight is that time. Now is that opportunity that you have. If you do, please let it be known by coming to